Romans chapter 12 is, for those that you know about God's Word, you read it, then you know that Romans chapter 12 is a very important chapter in Romans, and probably the most well-known, familiar verses here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. When he says here, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God," when he says the mercies of God, he's talking about looking back at the last 11 chapters and all this wonderful statement about God's provision for salvation. Romans is a book about salvation. And when he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God," he's talking about all these wonderful things that God has provided for each one of us. Praise God for that. We spoke to our daughter in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Mandy, a few days ago, and she was really disturbed because they had gone downtown Albuquerque. Albuquerque is pretty much a large city, and pretty much a liberal city. And she was disturbed because she saw a lot of Christian churches, evangelical churches, they were flying the pride flag, gay pride flag. And she said, "I just don't understand. How have we gotten to this place? How have we gotten to the place that now even some of the churches are accepting of this perverse lifestyle?" It's really on my mind because it is, I think, for all of us, it's a troubling thing when we wonder, we look at how things are, and you see that people, you know, in a nation that's divided, people on both sides, they believe with all of their heart that they are right. They believe they're right. That's the reason they're willing to fight for what they believe in. And even the whole pride thing. Imagine that. Proud of the very things that they should be ashamed of. Now that's hard to imagine. And how could we think so differently as far as a Christian worldview versus a secular worldview? How could we think so differently? Well, we do. The Bible says in Philippians, our conversation, the word there means citizenship, or where we belong, where we feel at home. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. So I don't expect this world to ever be a perfect utopia. I don't. I believe that place is the place we're going to go to one of these days, heaven. But at the same time, we can understand that we've gotten to this place in this country, in this nation now. We've gotten to this place because there is no moral compass guiding us anymore. No moral compass. When you remove the Bible from schools, you remove the Bible from government, you remove the Bible from the Supreme Court, when you remove God's Word from all these institutions, then you have no moral compass. Nothing to show you the right way to go. You don't know the right way to go. If you don't know the Word of God, if it's not deep in your heart, if it does not shape who you are, then you're going to accept, you know, what seems right, what feels right. Amen? That's the place you're going to be. That's the way it was in the book of Judges. It says in Judges 17, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Now, they didn't have copies of the scripture like you and I have. So the nation went as the king went. If the king was a wicked king, the nation would go that direction. If the king was a godly, righteous king, then the nation would go in the direction of righteousness. And we don't live in days of kings, but we know this, that whenever God is honored and his word is honored, then you have a sense of direction. You know what's right. You know where to go. When God is removed, God's word is removed, then everyone just decides what's right for them. That's why there's this new terminology today. Have you heard the term, my truth? My truth. Well, that's my truth. This is my truth. This is what I believe. Well, my truth might not be the same as God's word, which is the truth. Amen. Your truth, just because you think it feels right or it seems like it's right, if it doesn't align with God's word, it's not the truth. It is not the truth. So what did the Apostle Paul say about this? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he said, since all of this that God has done for us, you should present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Since God has done so much for you, let me tell you what the mercies of God look like for me. They look like you have your own story. For me, the mercies of God are, as a young boy, I heard and received and understood the gospel, and I put my faith in the Lord as a kid. Amen. That was the mercies of God. The mercies of God led me along the way. The mercies of God led me to Bible school. The mercies of God led me along the way, all the way to where I am today. It's been the mercies of God. That's the story of God's mercy in my life. You've got that same kind of a story where the mercy of God found you. We were all in our sin. We were all in rebellion against God, but God found us and showed mercy to us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, since God has done so much for you, then you should present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's what he's calling you to do. Lay it all down. Give your life to God. Give your life 100% to God. Amen. What does that look like? Well, it looks like, I was reading a little bit about Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael, a young Irish girl. A young Irish girl born in a little village in Ireland, who her parents served the Lord and they taught her about the Lord. And she became a Christian as a child. When she was 15 years old, they moved to a bigger city, Belfast. They had no church there for them to attend, so even though her father was not a preacher, they started a church there called Welcome Evangelical Church. I like that name, Welcome Evangelical Church. And she, as a 15, 16-year-old girl, started reaching out to young people, primarily to young girls. She started touching their lives, influencing their lives, touching their lives, to the point that after a while, after two or three years, she had hundreds of young girls that she was having Bible studies with, and that she was teaching them how to serve the Lord and to walk according to the precepts of God's word. When she was 20 years old, she went to a Keswick convention. You've heard of those, I'm sure. A guy by the name of Hudson Taylor was speaking at this meeting. This was in the late 1800s. She heard him speak, and the Lord spoke to her heart to give her life. This is what a living sacrifice looks like. To give her life to the Lord. For the next 55 years, She spent her life in India, absolutely and completely devoted. For the most part, it was young girls that she was saving them from temple worship and temple prostitution, and she saved them, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young Indian girls were saved by Amy Carmichael. That was her life. She was so devoted to it that she fixed her hair like the Indians. She took coffee and dyed her skin so that her white, pale skin wouldn't stand out so much. She took her cues from Hudson Taylor, apparently. And she wore the sari, the Indian garment. She wanted to be able to reach them. She wanted to do whatever she could to reach them. She wanted to be one of them. She loved them, and she devoted her whole life, and she died, and she's buried there in India. That's what a living sacrifice looks like. Giving your all to the Lord. Not a part, not just a part, but your whole life to the Lord. Not many people come to that kind of a place of absolute commitment and sacrifice, but that's what the apostle is talking about here. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the call of God. And then he says, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but instead be transformed. Don't be conformed. Be transformed. And he's just saying, don't fit in to the world and don't love the world and don't follow after the world and don't follow their example. Don't go with the flow of the way everyone else is going, but instead allow your mind to be transformed. Allow it to be transformed. And that transformation takes place by a work of the Spirit of God and then an ongoing work of God's Word. And I told Cynthia Sunday, asked her if she had a Bible. She did. I told her, read it, get in it every day, read the Bible. Transform your mind, your thinking by the Word of the Lord. Transform your thinking. Don't allow the world to press you to be in their, you know, company, in their mold. But instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. So vital, I think, as Christians, for us to remember that God is able to change the way we think about things. And that's the reason why that the world can think that things that are so awful and despicable are so wicked and evil. But they think that they're right. It's because they don't know God's Word. They're not thinking right. They're thinking according to the ways of the world. They're thinking according to their own mind without God's Word. But when we think according to the Word of the Lord, actually you are transforming, saturating your mind with God's Word. And when you do that, God's Word, those are the thoughts of God. When you read it and meditate upon it and spend time, then that's the way God thinks. And the more time you spend with God's Word, the more you are going to think like Him. Amen. And you'll be transformed. Your mind will be transformed. Will be completely turned around. You know, God spoke to the children of Israel and said to them when they were leaving Egypt, don't do after the doings of Egypt wherein you dwelt. Shall ye not do? And after the things of the land of Canaan where he was leading them to, whither I bring you, shall ye not do? So he said, don't do like the Egyptians do. Don't think like the Egyptians think. Don't think like the Canaanites think. But he said, instead, you shall do, this is Leviticus 18 and 4, you shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. When we read it and we hear it and we spend time with God's word, then our thinking is transformed. You know, you're either going to be conformed to the world, the thinking of the world, or you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the two. Either conformed or transformed. That's what God can do in your life. He can cause you to begin to think so much differently. You know, one of the things that the enemy does, Cynthia mentioned this to me before the service. She said, it seems like, I don't know, she said, I don't know if it's the devil or what, but attacking my mind. Oh, yeah. That's what he does. He attacks our mind. He attacks our thinking. And the only way that we can deal with this mental attack of the enemy is through the power of God's word. Amen. The power of God's word. We're not to love the world nor the things that are in the world, but instead we are to love God, the things of God, the word of God, and to pursue after them with all of our heart. Amen. Then the transformation takes place. The transformation takes place. We are changed. See, God is interested in your thoughts. He's interested in your mind. He knows your thoughts. The Bible says he knows what you are thinking. He knows. Mark 12 and 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. So it's so vital that as a Christian, that you saturate your thinking with good things. You saturate your mind with good things. Don't fill up your mind with all the ways of this world and the thinking and the philosophy of this world. But instead be transformed. Saturate your mind with God's word, which is the revelation of the way God thinks. And then you will see the world differently. When your mind is transformed, you'll see the world from God's perspective. Amen. And that is what happens whenever we enter into the wisdom that God has for us. We begin to see the world from a completely different point of view. Amen. God gives to us his wisdom, his ability to see and to understand what's going on around us from a godly perspective. That's why we look at what people are doing in the world and we say, how can they believe that? How can they believe? It's so extreme. It's so far from what I have believed, knowing God's word. Well, you remove God's word from people's lives. You remove God's word, the truth, and you replace it with the philosophy and the thinking of this world, and you come up with the mess that we are in right now in our world right now. You have Supreme Court decisions being made that are anti-God and anti-Scripture. You have all of this happening when people make judgments based upon what they believe to be true, they believe to be right, instead of what thus saith the word of the Lord. And the more that God's word is removed from society and removed from the culture, the more we're going to head down this direction of secularism, further and further away from God. And that which is right. The answer is for the church to get back to God. The only reason why that a church would fly one of those pride flags is they are ignoring God's word. They're ignoring the Bible. And even some well-known preachers marching in pride parades. Mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. That we have come to the place that we're in right now. The only answer is fill your mind and your heart with God's word and let him transform your thinking. Transform your mind. And that's what Romans chapter 12 is talking about. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. A transformed mind will be capable of making righteous judgment, that you may prove what is good. You may prove that which is acceptable. Prove that which is perfect. Prove the will of God. You can make those judgments based upon a transformed mind and heart. Amen. Then you can make right judgments. You make wrong judgments when you do it according to your own ideas, your own ways. Now, this is so important in the world we live in right now. I don't know of anything more important than making sure that our hearts and our minds are fixed upon the Lord and upon His Word, and that we saturate our hearts with the truth of God's Word. And then when we come to church, then you're going to be exposed to it in Sunday school. You're going to be exposed to it in the services. You're going to hear the Word of the Lord. And that is going to strengthen your heart and your mind and help you to be able to make sound judgment, sound decisions in a world that is so twisted. So twisted that it's really, it's incredible that we have gotten to the place that we have. But the church has to remain true to God's word. Amen. So what is a revival? What happens when a revival comes? Revival, an outpouring of the Spirit of God, is when God's values once again get elevated to a place that they begin to have an effect upon communities and the culture. That's revival. When God sends revival, then God's wisdom and God's values, the word of the Lord, it's elevated to the point that it really begins to change what's going on in our community and our world. Amen. Praise God. Are we too far gone? I don't think so. I think that with the Lord, there's always hope for America. There's always hope for America. If we'll call on the Lord, if we'll return to God, if we will remain true to the word of the Lord, we can have a transformed mind. When people come to the Lord and they're truly converted, then their minds will be changed and they will see things from a completely new perspective. Amen. Praise God. So don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. Transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that's the means whereby the transformation comes, is your whole thought processes are turned upside down. Amen. When you become a Christian and when you become a person that's following after the ways of the Lord, then what you believe then will be completely opposite of what the general direction of the world is. It'll be completely opposite. Amen. Praise God. Now that's what revival looks like. I'm certainly glad for what the Lord was doing Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I'm certainly not minimizing that because it was a wonderful moving of the Spirit of God. But we got to be able to walk out of the doors of this building and know the truth and let it be deep within our hearts so that we can have an impact upon our world that we live in. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, Lord, the needs all around us are so great, but I'm so thankful that you have given to us your word. You've given to us the truth of your word, and it has the power to transform our minds. Thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for every person in this service tonight, that our hearts would be stirred and we would be motivated, Lord, even more than ever, Lord, to spend time with you, to spend time with your word, to allow your word to fill up our hearts and our minds so that when we are faced with a culture that's so opposite and so against God, that we know exactly what your word says and we stand true to it. Lord, do a work, I pray, among not only this group here, but Lord, Christians all across this country, a great revival of truth, a revival of your word, and causing people to return back to godly values. Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together.